welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, September the 30th, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and the Voice Network with our simulcast partners in Douglas, where Cochise County residents are listening to the Buckmaster Show on AM 930. That's KAPR. And in Gila County, up in Globe, where Eastern Arizonans listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. And of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where we have all of our shows archived for 24/7 listening. Also, our online news service partnership with the TucsonSentinel.com. Our programs are available anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. We have an expanded edition today of our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com is with us, and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And we invite you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can also submit questions at BuckmasterShow.com or on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. The Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Mark Evans and Sarah Garrett Gasson, good to see you both.
Thank you for having us.
It has been a very busy news week, and I want to start with the big story, I think, of the week, and it has to do with Rosemont and the decision by the Pima County Board of Supervisors to deny the air quality permit to Rosemont. And Sarah, based on the number of comments to the Arizona Daily Star, and reading through all those comments, this community is still badly divided over Rosemont.
They really are. There's a group of people who say mining brings jobs. Jobs are the most important. We should do anything possible to get jobs. And then there's other people who say once the mine goes in, there's no way to get that land and that heritage back, and that those sort of long-term things should have precedence. The big questions, I think, about the mine are its impact on air quality and the water. Those are two things, whether or not you think the scenic Santa Rita's should be preserved, whether you think the jobs are more important. Those are two things that will affect everyone, not just the people who live in the area south of Tucson, but people throughout the basin and in the Tucson area, because, you know, air doesn't stop at borders. So those are two things that have an effect on everyone, and I think still need some questions answered.
Yeah, the county denied this permit because it said that Rosemont had not provided enough information for it to determine whether they would be in compliance with the air quality rules. So to me, that's kind of a quibble. That's not flat out saying, you know what, based on what you've told us, you're going to violate our air quality rules, you don't get a permit. Instead, they said you haven't given us enough information. And so this is just going to be added to the court case. Rosemont's already suing the county for dragging its feet on permitting. And so it's going to end up being a judge that decides whether they're actually going to be in violation. Based on the plans that they presented, they're going to be in violation of the air quality permit. And I'm not real sure whether this is the wrench in the gears that a lot of people are claiming that it is, because this is kind of a strange animal, Rosemont, in that the majority of the mine, where they're going to be hauling the copper, is private land the county can regulate, and then the tailings and the rest of that is going to go onto federal land. So there's federal permitting that's involved here. Plus there's the overarching federal government's control over mining and actually just getting the mining permit. So you've still got the federal government involved here, and I think the federal government's hands are tied. They're going to go through and approve this eventually, I would think. And then so you just have to resolve the county's part in it. And that obviously now is going to go through the court system. But you know what? I've always been on kind of on the fence about this, but you know, the county is surrounded by mines. I mean, there's mines in the Tucson Mountains over in the Silver Bells. There's mines down right next to Green Valley. The people in Green Valley, some of them who are opposed to the Rosemont Mine, live next to a mountain of tailings. You've got the mountains on the, you got the mine, the huge now closed mine on the other side of the Catalinas over in, I've just lost the name of it. I want to say Morenci, and that's not right. It's San Manuel. You know, I think we've lived pretty well with mining activity pretty close to our borders. I'm not one who would think that, you know, that this mine is going to be some horrible environmental devastation to the community. What it will be is a big hole in the ground that you'll be able to see from Tucson in the Santa Ritas. And
well, we had Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity on the Buckmaster Show. I think it was Thursday. Well, by the way, we're going to have Rod Pace from Rosemont on the Buckmaster Show coming up on Tuesday. But Sarah, he says this is really far from a done deal. There are so many other regulations and permits that need to be done. And I know Rosemont was really optimistic. I believe they were optimistic in thinking that they could get this thing up and running next year, sometime during 2012. But it sounds like there's a lot more to this story.
There is a lot more to this story. I mean, just the permits and the hearing periods and things that need to happen just will grind on at their own pace, and court involvement certainly won't speed things up. The other thing I would just like to point out, and I think this might go to some of the division that you hear about whether or not this mine is a good idea, is that Rosemont Copper has spent an incredible amount of money on civic events and sponsoring things and just putting their name everywhere, and it's a PR campaign, and I think that's part of the reason why some people are, even if they don't really pay attention to the mining aspect so much, it's the familiarity, it's part of just the lexicon in Tucson now. So I think that has something to do with the divisions as well.
I was at a press conference yesterday for the Major League Soccer announcement, which I assume we're going to get to in a few minutes. And there was the who's who of county and the city were there, and I was talking to some county officials, and there was this, you know, kind of half-hearted joke that, you know, if you can just keep dragging out all this permitting process, Rosemont will have the same economic impact with the amount of money that it's spending trying to lobby the community to let them build the mine as if they actually had built the mine.
Copper prices are going to have something to say about this,
too. Copper prices are going to stay quite high for a long time, as long as you've got the economies of South and East Asia continuing to boom.
However, they are at a 13-month low right now.
It's because of the recession, yeah.
The copper prices.
But, you know, as the economies of India and China continue to develop and you get more and more people over there buying cell phones and TVs and cars and wiring their homes for more electrical gadgets, you're going to need more and more and more copper. You're going to, unless they find, like, you know, an Antarctic size load of copper in order to create a massive supply to drive the price down, copper's going to stay high, and any amount of copper that you can find is going to be dug up.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to weigh in on the Rosemont story. Lots of people were commenting, certainly on the Arizona Daily Star report of it in this morning's paper. Sarah, I think I gave up count. I think there were over almost 200 comments, something like that.
Yeah, it is one of those flashpoint topics where no matter what really the story is, people flock to it and have an opinion.
Right.
And the jobs issue, again, the gentleman from the Center for Biological Diversity, he questions the numbers that Rosemont puts out about the 400 to 450 jobs. The people from the Center for Biological Diversity believe that those are temporary jobs, that a lot of people in that copper industry will come and for just a few months' work, and that they won't be permanent jobs.
I don't know how to mine copper, so yeah. I will defer to the copper company telling me how many people that they need to mine copper out of the ground. But then, you know, if you're creating new jobs, then you're creating secondary jobs too, the so-called trickle effect, where if you've got 400 people getting paid a lot of money to mine copper, they're buying homes, they're, you know, shopping in stores, you know, that's an increase in the economy, and then those businesses are hiring people or are doing better and not closing. So you have an overall impact. So, but I can't say how many people they're actually going to hire to drive the trucks and blow up the ground and haul the dirt and, you know, all those other things that go into to mining stuff.
And I'm sure they are high-paying jobs because that is very difficult work.
It is, and traditionally mining jobs have been very, very well paying. The flip side of that, of course, is mines have a limited lifespan. And so some of the people who oppose the mine and the way it's been framed is, yes, it will bring jobs, but it will also go away at some point. It's not forever, although, of course, no job is forever. But it's the kind of thing that the lasting effects to the air and to the water and to the just the scenery will be there for all time, I guess. But the jobs and the economic impact will be somewhat finite.
And we will be talking about some big job announcements this week. That's going to be coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us of the Arizona Daily Star and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. And we are going to take a break right here, and we will be back with Sarah and Mark right after this.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate. With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Piero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Piero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Piero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at pieroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show, an expanded edition of our Reporters Roundtable. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. Quite a few calls on the Buckmaster Show live line. We've got three waiting, so let's begin with American Dave. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much. On this situation with the mine, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I'm right in the center, which means I don't know which way I should go, yes or no. But has the people who don't like the idea, have any of them went to see the tour of the mine, what they're proposing with the cattle and I guess planting some type of trees and grass? Has anybody actually been there to say what's wrong with it besides just hearing reports from the federal government or the county, which I sometimes don't believe?
Dave, have you taken the tour?
No, but there's one next Wednesday. I heard on the program this morning, and my wife and I are very interested going there to check out what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to get down there and for you to take the tour
and
check it out. No, so go ahead. I think it's a good idea for you to take.
People for it. Yeah. Right now, they're looking at jobs. Okay,
right.
Jobs are very important for income. I understand that. But once again, if there's something wrong with the mine, I think people say, hey, before we work here, we'd like to have this taken care of or something. I think people have a guilt. Will be guilty of something if something went wrong, but I really believe that all of us, the communities, they should have a big open house, maybe on a weekend, have people go and look at it and see what they're talking about.
Dave, do me a favor. Call back and let us know after you take the tour, okay?
I'll be glad to.
Okay, that was American Dave on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go now to Jerry on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, it was delightful meeting you. But anyway, as I understand it, of course, they're going to be bringing all these jobs. Now, the interesting thing is there's going to be a huge trickle-down effect, not just for the mines, but for everything that would be involved with any kind of mining whatsoever. And also, too, they say the mine's only going to be there for like 20, 25 years. I don't know how many years you like to work, but most people work about 20 years and then they retire. And then I understand after they finish with the mine, they're going to do a reclamation. They're going to put the trees back and fill it up and all these wonderful things. And as I understand, you can't see it from the highway. So I really believe people need to take the tour. I'm taking my two grandsons on a tour on a Saturday so that we can actually see, because I have many friends who have gone on the mine and said it's definitely something you can learn a great deal about the positive aspects of the mine.
Okay, and I also suggest you to call us back and let us know what your impressions are, okay?
I'll be happy to. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, Mark.
On that reclamation point, that's the one thing that I'm really unhappy with, because there is a federal law that says that you're supposed to reclaim these mines back to as much as the natural state as possible. But if you look all over Arizona, there are lots of mines that have stopped mining, including the Magma mine, which is the one I couldn't come up with a name a few minutes ago, San Manuel, where they have not done the reclamation that they're required to. There's still massive mounds of tailings up in San Manuel that have not been reclaimed as they were supposed to, the BHP was supposed to. And, you know, that we would have to live with forever.
So they are saying, though, that they've got a state-of-the-art reclamation
program. Right, but program. But they're supposed to, but we won't know whether they actually live up to that until after they're done mining and have gotten all the ore out of it that they can afford to get out.
Okay, James, you are up next on the Buckmaster Show. James, go ahead.
Hello, afternoon. Hey, I'm an outdoorsman kind of guy. You know, I hunt and I get around, and, you know, it would be a definite loss to that area having a mine. But on the other end, the economic impact would be so positive, so huge, and he's right, the other caller, about the trickle-down. Well, trickle-down, every other, what a well-paying job gives to a person and the local economy is immense. You know, from all around, from regular other consuming items. So this area, Tucson, is hurting so bad. It is ridiculous how well these jobs pay in comparison to any other jobs out there, let alone just our high unemployment rate. And we are lagging in the state, this area. And it is just a huge benefit. I did take the tour. Found it very impressive. And the new way of putting the tailings, or how they're do that and put grass over it, is very impressive. So the whole thing is, even though that is a loss, I know a lot of people who will do say no way, absolutely. But the best thing for our economy, the best thing for is not a welfare check.
Okay,
job.
James, thank you very much for checking in. Here's Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star.
We've been talking a lot about the trickle-down effect of, you know, when good-paying jobs come in. And I just wanted to point out again that the legacy of a mine like this isn't only, and well, I guess the only question should not be jobs. The other questions that will linger, the effects will linger, is air quality and water. Those are two things that we should not lose sight of in terms of answering the question, is this good for the entire region? It's not just simply a matter of jobs.
And that at the end of the day, the community does have an interest in whether there's a mine built in the mountains to the south of town. However, we don't own the land, and of the federal land, we don't control that land. And so it really comes down to is whether they have the legal right to put this mine in, and whether they can meet all of the regulatory roadblocks or hurdles that they would have to cross, both local, state, and federal. And if they can, then the mine's going to go in. So whether or not we want to see it there or not because of the scenic nature of it or whatever, at the end of the day, that is not going to be what decides whether that mine goes in or not.
We've still got quite a few calls to get to here on the Buckmaster Show. Lots of interest in this topic, obviously. Joe Dreyfus, you are up next on the Buckmaster Show. Joe, how are you?
Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing real well. What's your take on this?
I'm going to fire it up for you. From my perspective, as somebody whose family has been here for 150 years, this sanctimonious attitude of no mining, it was the four C's of Arizona, cattle, copper, climate. And so with that said, they've got a state-of-the-art reclamation process. But people say, well, I don't want it here. Well, I didn't invite any of you people here, but well, I'm looking at your houses now and the infrastructure and all that it takes, and guess what? Every house has copper. We need the
right
jobs, and the reclamation that they have signed on to do is being utilized worldwide. I see no problem with this.
Thank you, Joe, for lending your opinion here. I do want to take one quick call, Joe, before the break. We've got Jerry from Bisbee. Go ahead, Jerry. You're with us.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that reclamation and to let people know just what can happen take the tour here and also go over to Warren to see the big heap of slag that they have yet to address and take out of there, because it used to be a garden sanctuary, and now it's a heap of innards from the earth, and they're leaching it, and it had some issues of leaching into the water tables. Reclamation is number one priority above jobs, because it affects the people living already in the neighborhood.
Quick comment. Thank you very much, Jerry from Bisbee.
I know what he's talking about. It's when you go down to Bisbee and you enjoy the little hole in the you drive through that tunnel and you come out and there's this beautiful little scenic little town, this old mining town. Very few of the tourists actually go over the next hill, and they go into it with the Warren area, and they see that massive mountain of slag and tailings that are there that came out of, it's what's left of the Lavender Pit, which also is still sitting there as a big scar. But that was all done long before there was ever the reclamation laws that exist now.
Okay, this is a special edition of our Friday Roundtable. We were scheduled to have Jeff Rogers, Pima County Democratic Chair. However, because of the interest in Rosemont, we had decided to postpone the interview with Mr. Rogers and take as many calls as possible. The Reporters Roundtable continues on the Buckmaster Show on this Friday edition right after this.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says the killing of Anwar al-Awlaki strikes a major blow to al-Qaeda's most active affiliate. Al-Awlaki was killed today in a U.S. airstrike in Yemen. Texas Governor Rick Perry says that if he's elected president, he'll make Washington as inconsequential in people's lives as he possibly can. Alabama education officials say scores of immigrant families have pulled their kids out of school or keeping them home this week following a court ruling upholding the state's tough new law cracking down on illegal immigration. A hospital spokesman in Valencia, California, says a man who may have survived for as long as 6 days on leaves and creek water and after a car crash is hospitalized in serious condition. The Dow's down 162. More details at srnnews.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromoripizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network, over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, every Friday at about 12:35. We present the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Today we had an expanded edition of the Roundtable because of the tremendous interest in the Rosemont story, but now we pick up where the Roundtable usually begins. And we have with us Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. We welcome you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. That live line has been very busy today. Lots of people wanting to talk about Rosemont. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. And before we, Sarah and Mark, before we leave the Rosemont story, we are going to go to Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sojourita Sun. And Dan, of course, is kind of our Rosemont expert here on the Buckmaster Show. And Dan is a regular contributor to the Buckmaster Show Friday Roundtable. Dan, how are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you doing, Bill?
Real good. What is your take? We've had the first half hour of the show. The phone line's very busy. Lots of folks weighing in. Many people saying, hey, you should take the tour before you make a decision. What's your take on the air quality decision yesterday by the board?
Well, I don't think anybody was real surprised by what happened, Bill, and the rejection by Pima County, which has been against this since the beginning, again, is no surprise. And I, as you know, Rosemont, of course, is planning to add this to the lawsuit that they have filed against the county. Rosemont all along is saying the county is just delaying what it considers to be the inevitable, which is probably true, and we'll see where it goes. But should Rosemont be concerned about this? Probably not, to be honest with you.
Dan, what did you think about the way the county denied it? Rather than saying, hey, you know what, you're going to violate our air quality permit, you don't get one, or you don't meet the standards for the air quality permit or whatever the criteria were, instead they said something ambiguous like, you didn't provide us enough information.
You know, this again, also was not a surprise because the county is really poking a stick, and I had an extended discussion about this yesterday with somebody who's very interested. The more this heats up, the more people really kind of want to jump in and are taking notice of this issue down here in Green Valley, and more are kind of coming out of the woodwork and saying, you know what, maybe Rosemont's not such a bad thing. That's not most people. Most people down here are definitely opposed to it, mostly because of the water issue. But I think there's a sense that the county, again, is just poking a stick and doesn't have much of a leg to stand on. I know that's going to anger some people, and it's not saying that air quality is not important, but what it's saying is that the county isn't going to have the last word on this. And I think Rosemont is saying, look, can we just get serious about the discussion here and figure out when this thing's going to go on the ground, because it is going to. And frankly, we're not coming out in favor of Rosemont or against it, but we certainly believe it's going to happen, to be honest with you.
Dan, we had quite a few callers saying take the tour before you make a decision. You've taken the tour a couple of times, haven't you?
That's true.
Yeah.
And I would agree with this. I talked to somebody who was on the tour just last week, because Rancho Sarita up here is sponsoring or hosting some. So now people can jump on a bus right up here in Sarita and go on out to the site. And Sarita itself has come out against the mine, but the school district has not said anything official. But the fact is they stand to get a good chunk of money from this, because the school district is partly in the taxing authority where Rosemont's going to be paying taxes. So the district is frankly probably interested in this happening, although they have not come out and said it. But a lot more people here are going on the tours from here. They're packed. I checked the list recently, and quite a few people signed up. And it is important to get out there and to take a look to see exactly where this hole is going to go, what can be seen from, you know, the highway, and frankly, the fact that the hole is going to stay there forever, even if Rosemont says it's going to be gone in 20 years, which I think we all know it will not be gone in 20 years.
Okay, Dan Scheer, I know we're right in the middle of a meeting. I appreciate you taking a break to give us your perspective, and I hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And there are other things going on this week. Lots of stuff, of course, is always going on in the city. And Sarah Garrett Gasson, did you write the editorial in the Star here, "The Public Deserves Firm Numbers on Rio Nuevo," or was that your colleague that wrote that?
Actually, we talk about the editorials, and so we all
consensus.
Agree with them.
Okay.
But I did not actually.
But you certainly are familiar with it.
Yes, I am.
And especially the sentence there, "Rio Nuevo is synonymous with failure in Tucson." And the day this came out, we had, I think it was Wednesday, Mayor Walkup was here on the Buckmaster Show, and what do you think? He disagreed, of course, with that.
Of course Mayor Bob Walkup's going to disagree with the negative characterization of Rio Nuevo. Mm-hmm. That's not really a surprise, but it is. I mean, it's become a shorthand for giant waste of money and delays in the vernacular of Tucson. But what we're saying in our editorial is the people have changed, the players have changed, the mission has changed a bit, but you know, it's been months now, and the people of Tucson have no real idea of how much money the Rio Nuevo board has. There's been talk, you know, that the books were so convoluted and the record keeping was so shoddy that there's no way to tell, but you should at least be able to ballpark it. And a lot of what the dissatisfaction is it always seems to come down to the city council saying, oh, the Rio Nuevo board isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're not playing, we're so interested in coming together and working together. And then you go to the Rio Nuevo board folks and they say, oh, those darn city council people, they're not interested, they're the ones holding up the show. And so it comes down to personalities, it comes down to we're the better ones, the bigger people, they're the wrong ones, the ones who are holding it up, and it just comes down to everyone. And the final part is there's major things that need to be done to the Tucson Convention Center, major repairs that need to happen. The city of Tucson is losing money with every venue or act that doesn't come to Tucson because of those things. And come hell or high water, the people of Tucson need to know how much money Rio Nuevo has.
Before this, the newspaper version of the Citizen was closed and it became what it is now, which is the community blogging site. I was working with a reporter, Eric Sagar, on an investigation of the Rio Nuevo finances, which was happening at the same time that Rob Odell at the Star was doing his investigation, and we ended up not doing it because obviously Eric was out of a job, along with everybody else at the Citizen. However, we did get an initial batch of records for Rio Nuevo's finances, and we were stunned at how incomplete they were, how legible they were. We couldn't tell from what fund, what pot of money was in, whether it was city money, whether it co-mingled it with city money, what was bond money. It was unbelievable to me that they were at that level of shoddy record keeping. So it is not surprising to me that they don't know how much money they have or where the money is. What is surprising to me is that was 2 years ago. Rob's story came out in 2009 about how bad that record keeping was. They've since had an audit a year ago that said, we can't tell you how much money there is because we don't know. And it still hasn't been fixed. And so that is either willful or flat-out incompetence on both the city's and the Rio Nuevo board's part. The very existence of Rio Nuevo is all about the money. It's a tax increment financing district. They can't do anything without money. And if they don't know how much money they have, that is shameful.
It really is. And ballpark it. You know, we don't necessarily need or expect the dollars and the cents down to the very last penny, although there should be that sort of careful accounting with any taxpayer's money. But just ballpark it. Give us an idea of what we're working with. And Mark's absolutely right. There's no other reason for Rio Nuevo except the money.
12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. We are talking now about Rio Nuevo and the city. And while we're talking about the city, Richard Miranda, who is the acting city manager, he is acting, isn't he? Or is he?
Yeah, he's interim.
Okay, he's interim city manager.
I would say he's active, but right, he is interim.
And he's become very active, hasn't he, Mark Evans?
Yeah, he, new broom sweeps clean, and he's making some changes at the top. He brought back Liz Miller, which ironically, he replaced Liz Miller when she left in 2008, and he had retired as police chief and was hired to be the assistant city manager under Mike Hine to replace Liz Miller, and now he's been bumped up to active, emptied his position. He brings Liz Miller back. Sean McBride, who had been promoted by Mike Letcher to become an assistant city manager, now gets demoted to some ambiguous problem that he's supposed to solve, but McBride's getting most of the blame for the Parkwise and 911 fiascos. And so McBride's on his way out. Doesn't look like he's going to be retained. And he's made some other moves within the top, which you would expect. But these are bold moves for a guy who's the interim manager. So
well, it sounds like he wants the job.
It does. It sounds like he's trying to show the council, you know, how he can right the ship over there.
And they also, the city has a long list of very important jobs that have been opened. So it's to his credit, I think, that he's taking swift action. I mean, he's been in the city hall for a number of years. He knows the players. He knows what people can do, what their talents are, and what they're not. And, he's wasting no time.
And this follows him appointing the fire chief, the interim fire chief, as the fire chief. He's now put somebody in head of the water department, which the water department has had an interim chief forever. The city went on this retirement plan back with when Mike Hine was there, when it had lots of money, where it was giving the top people making the top salaries incentives to retire early and get a pretty big bolus of money. They've all taken advantage of that, and so now there is a pretty big vacuum of leadership at the top of the city. And I think that was led to some of Mike Letcher's problems because he was so consumed with the budget that he was out of people that he could rely on because there were so many holes. I mean, the HR director left. I mean, it was one after the other. So it looks like Miranda's taking pretty bold steps to solve that.
And one of the main complaints against now his former city manager Mike Letcher was that he didn't do things for a really long time. He sort of let things go. And the opposite of that is apparently Mr. Miranda's modus operandi to he's coming in, he's doing what he thinks needs to be done, and it's stark contrast to how things have been.
You know, and he took over as police chief from Smith, and I can't remember his first name, and that police department was in a mess when Miranda came in, and he made a whole bunch of changes, hired a bunch of different people, moved some people around, and the police department really settled down and has not been problematic ever since.
I also think it sets an important tone that things aren't just going to keep going. And I think when he was quoted in the story in the Star as saying, it's important that people know that we are taking actions to restore confidence. And I think it's important that message get out.
And you said motive there, sort of a slip of the tongue.
Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what the motive, and it sounds like it's pretty obvious with Richard. It sounds like, hey, I want to show you I can do a good job.
Right.
And I'm your guy.
Right. He is not he's not a placeholder.
And perhaps maybe have them not spend all the money they're probably going to spend in their national search.
Right.
And instead wait till the election, get through the election, and then in December we'll see what happens.
Political news. Former chair of the Arizona Democratic Party, Don Bivens, has entered the race for the U.S. Open U.S. Senate seat on the Democratic side, of course, in 2012. Was this somewhat of a surprise, or is he the first major name that's kind of come forward on the Democrats?
I was hoping that Jeff had actually come today because I had a question about that. What I can't figure out is whether the Democrats in Arizona have such a thin bench that they can't find somebody for an historic opportunity for a Senate seat. I mean, it's very rare that Senate seats come open like this. And once you get in, you're there for a long time until you decide you're going to stop the way things are now. So this was the Democrats' opportunity to grab this seat, and no one's coming forward. And now you get Don Bivens, who was, the state chair and left. I don't know. There was some controversy over his serving as state chair. And, I mean,
they don't have a
deep enough bench to have a prominent enough Democrat to run. Or the prominent Democrats are saying, you know, why get rolled in this next election? I'm not even going to stick my head up. I mean, they've talked about Fred Duvall. We've talked about Goddard. We've talked about, you know, even bringing back Peterson from when he ran against Kyle before.
And Richard Carmona.
And when Carmona, who knows what Carmona is? Is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? Right. You know, he's been recruited by everybody. So.
And the governor canceled a trip to Mexico. I'm sure that will help Arizona-Mexico relations, Sarah Garrett-Gasson. What was the, I don't want to say excuse. I know there was work to be done, but there was some.
Yeah, it was a meeting that with the DES folks and at Department of Economic Security, and that I guess no one realized she was supposed to be in another country then. It does not look good, and it's not like Arizona needs any more
bad publicity. And
you know, right. She didn't go last year because she was mad over SB 1070 and Mexico's opposition to it, and then the New Mexico governor, she was mad at her over something or other, and now she doesn't go this year. I mean, it clearly shows that the border is only of interest to her as long as she's doing something against illegal immigration that gets her votes and she can win, and then other than that, she could care less. I mean, this to not go again just shows, for something as, I won't say it's frivolous, but I don't know that the DES meeting was so critical that she couldn't go to the border conference when the border is one of the most important issues affecting not only the state but the country.
And we don't want to ignore the big job announcements this week. Bombardier has already hired over 100 people for their operation up at the airport. There'll be more hires coming. One of the call centers is hiring over 200 people. Then there's this group that makes armored plates for some of the protective police vehicles. They're going to be adding several hundred jobs. So I think it was a good week for job announcements anyway.
It was. Yes. It was. And a good use of the federal stimulus money to kind of make some of these things happen and bring jobs to our community.
Okay. Sarah Garrett-Gasson and Mark Evans, thank you very much for this expanded roundtable today on the Buckmaster Show. Let's find out what's going on the weekend. That's next with Matt Russell.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, SierraSunControl.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
And my feet thank me every day so I can get out and dance by the pool. And that's where Matt Russell is usually when we hear that music. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Just, you know, moving and grooving to the sounds of the Culinary Cruiser. This is my favorite time of the week, Bill.
Oh, thank you very much. The Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, the man we have dubbed the Culinary Cruiser. And Matt's other day job, he is well-known Tucson publicist, but he always ducks out for a nice lunch around Friday, and he tells everybody about, oh, I don't know, 10, 15 after they have their morning meeting at Russell Communications, their very palatial offices up in the foothills, that he will be coming back after lunch and doing the Buckmaster Weekend Watch show. And funny thing happens, you don't see him again till Monday morning.
Well, you know, if we could put it on our budget to get a margarita machine in my office, Bill, I would think that staff productivity would be through the roof.
Margaritas and mariachis, I guess, this weekend, topping our Weekend Watch.
Going on tonight, you know, two things, Bill, that we're known for in the Old Pueblo, margaritas and mariachis. I just wanted to highlight one of the places in town that does them really well, El Mezon del Cobre, over on North First Avenue, just between Glen and Fort Lowell. They've got a great Friday night feature tonight. Happy hour starts at 4 o'clock. The mariachi start at 7. And this is just a lot of fun for people that have been around town for a long time and newbies in the community. I can't stress how fun the mariachis are. Now, here's a little secret for your listeners, Bill. In today's Arizona Daily Star, if you go to the Caliente section or in yesterday's Star, you're going to find a coupon for 99-cent margaritas tonight.
Oh,
so,
boy.
I don't know how in the world they can get away with that, but anyway, 99-cent margaritas with a coupon at El Mezon del Cobre tonight. A
lot of power behind that. Apple Annie's Fall Pumpkin Celebration is this weekend. You know fall is here.
Yeah, this is just fall the way we all remember growing up. I mean, this is a great time out in Wilcox. It's going to start this weekend and then every weekend through October. The Apple Annie's Fall Pumpkin Celebration. Bring the whole family. You'll be able to take a hayride out to the pumpkin patch, and that's just a pumpkin picking pleasure for the whole family. Say that 3 times fast. Oh,
you're lucky now, you got it the first time, I'll tell you.
Get this, they're going to be cooking up apple smoked burgers, Bill.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I don't know the last time you had an apple-smoked burger, but they're doing pretty good out in Wilcox.
Mm, making me hungry. And after one of those margaritas, try saying what you were saying very quickly. we've got the Fall Pub Crawl downtown.
Yeah, great annual event for people that love great live music and the rhythm and the buzz. All kinds of musical styles are going to be represented downtown on Congress Street and across 4th Avenue. 90 bands are going to be performing on 30 stages, so you're going to be able to get a wristband and just basically pop in and out of great venues to hear some great live music. And, of course, while you're downtown, again, all of the great restaurants that we love to talk about and love to enjoy our food there, two of which I want to sort of call out. Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, a creation of Chef Janos Wilder, always has something great on the menu. And then probably the best Thai food in all of Arizona is V Fine Thai Dining right down there on Congress and Stone. This is going to be a lot of fun.
And I think Chef Janos Wilder is scheduled to be our Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show next Friday, Matt.
Wonderful. You know, culinary enthusiasts across the West have really celebrated everything that Chef Janos Wilder has done. Everything he touches turns to gold, and we are just, it's a treasure to have him here in our community, and we can really get to know him and his style, which has really become world class.
Okay, there's the music. Remember, also, Oktoberfest over at High Corbett Field is going on as well. Matt, have a great weekend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. That's Matt Russell, our culinary cruiser. The Friday Show on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. This is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our lovely producer, very talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll see you Monday live at noon right here on KVOI, The Voice. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.